Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, fill our hearts with the light of your word. Lead us to confess our sins and to rejoice in your promise of salvation. Move us to love as we have been loved and to live as you would have us live, to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for this morning is hymn 437. Follow along with our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin this morning's worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and each other that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. we justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to us to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and has given them his Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with repentant hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. I invite you now to take out your Passion History readings. We are reading today from part 4.
The guilt was for the guilty. The Jews were the more fierce, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracles done by him. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood there and vehemently accused him. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. That very day, Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for before that they had been at enmity with each other. Then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, said to them, "You have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people, and indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him, and indeed nothing worthy of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. Now at the feast of the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner, whom they wished, whomever they requested. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas, who was chained with his fellow insurrectionists. He had been thrown into prison for a certain insurrection made in the city and for murder. And the multitude cried aloud and began to ask Pilate to do just as he had always done for them, for it was necessary for him to release one of them at the feast. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate answered them, saying, "You have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Whom do you want me to release to you? Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders stirred up the crowd and persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" Then they all cried out at once, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas. Away with this man and release to us Barabbas." He was chained with his fellow rebels who had committed murder in the rebellion. Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called out to them. He said to them, "What then do you want me to do with Jesus, who is called Christ, him whom you call the King of the Jews?" And they all shouted, "Let him be crucified." The governor said to them, "Why, what evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." But they were insistent. They cried out more exceedingly, demanding with loud voices, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but that rather a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Wanting to gratify the crowd, Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested, and he released Barabbas to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Nicene Creed on the bottom of page 4. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 609. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has taken our guilt and our shame upon himself on that cross, dear fellow redeemed. The text for meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from the Gospel of John. We'll read from chapter 18, verses 15 through 18, and verses 25 through 27. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Do you remember the children's story of the little red hen? There are a few variations of this story. Maybe you heard it when you were younger. But the gist of the story is this. An industrious hen finds a few grains of wheat on the ground, and she asks her barnyard friends to help her plant the grain, to harvest the wheat, to grind it, and then finally bake it into a cake. And all her barnyard friends are too lazy. They refuse. You might remember the refrain of this story. Maybe you don't remember the story exactly, but remember the refrain where she asks all the little barnyard animals, and they all say, "Not I," said the dog. "Not I," said the cow. "Not I," said the pig, and so on. But when it comes time to eat the cake, however, all the little red hen's barnyard friends are suddenly very interested in helping out. But instead, the hen eats the cake for herself. The other barnyard animals wanted to help out and gain the benefits of eating the cake that the hen had made, but they didn't want any of the responsibility or the hard work that was involved in actually making this cake. Our text for this morning, we hear one of Jesus' disciples sound a little bit like one of the farm animals in The Little Red Hen. "You are not one of Jesus' disciples also, are you?" "Not I," said the Peter. Kind of ironic that Peter's the one who denies Jesus, because just a few hours earlier, we heard Peter say the exact opposite. These were his words, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." When Jesus was arrested by his enemies in the garden, Peter proved his willingness to back up his promise by drawing his sword against overwhelming odds. But Jesus didn't want to be rescued by Peter's sword. He knew what he had to do. He willingly was arrested by his enemies and went with them. He knew that was part of his responsibility to save the entire world from their sins. His sacrifice would be the thing that saved mankind. Now at this moment of truth, it's obvious to Peter now what kind of Savior Jesus had come to be. It's obvious that Jesus had allowed this to happen to himself. And Peter now, at this moment of truth, has a choice to make. One, he could speak up and declare his allegiance to his Savior. He could point out to the people who are gathered there the significance of what Jesus was doing, the significance of his sacrifice. After all, this would have been the perfect time to witness to Jesus, to tell the people more about him, what he had actually come to do. Or, two, Peter could have shown that he was scared, shown that he is, in fact, ashamed to be associated with such a humble Savior. Now, Peter, no doubt, enjoyed the benefits of being a disciple or a follower of Jesus. I think we would too. Being in the presence of Jesus, the Son of God, witnessing his miracles, even getting a behind-the-scenes look at some of Jesus' miracles. Peter was one of the ones who was in that group of three, Peter, James, and John, who saw more miracles than the rest of the disciples. He enjoyed listening to his teaching, enjoying fellowship with him and the other disciples, and looking forward then to enjoying and sharing the eternal joys of heaven. But at this moment, in that cold courtyard, Peter wanted nothing to do with the responsibilities or the hard work that is involved with being a disciple of Christ. Those of you who have been here for our Lenten series on the powerful words of Jesus' powerful passion may have noticed that there is only a one-word difference between the words of this Sunday, the words of the powerful passion, "I am not he," and the words of our very first sermon from Ash Wednesday. Jesus' words, "I am he." Just one little word difference. And yet that one little word makes all the difference. And so do the men who spoke these words. As we heard on Ash Wednesday, it was Jesus who said the words, "I am he." Not just admitting his identity to his captors who were coming to arrest him, but also with those words taking on the responsibility and the sacrifice that involved being the Savior of the world, the Messiah. With these words, he showed us the acceptance of Christian responsibility in the ultimate sense. Peter did not. With his words, "I am not," implying "I am not he," Peter shirked his Christian responsibility and denied even knowing Jesus. Not once, not twice, but three times. Just, in fact, as Jesus had predicted earlier that evening. Mark even tells us in his gospel that Peter's third denial was backed up with cursing and swearing. Mark 14:71 says, "Then he began to curse and swear, 'I do not know this man of whom you speak.'" So in stark contrast to Jesus, Peter was quite possibly the worst example of accepting Christian responsibility. The worst example until I look in the mirror and see the chief of sinners that's staring back at me. Maybe you feel the same way. When we examine honestly our hearts and our lives, we quickly see that we are all too eager to join those barnyard animals of the little red hen and say, "Not I," when it comes to our Christian responsibilities or some of the hard work and sacrifice that are involved with being a follower of Christ. The things like Jesus talked about, things that would follow a disciple of Jesus. Things like denying ourselves, taking up our cross daily, and following Jesus. Now, I'm willing to guess that none of us have performed quite the open denial of Jesus that Peter did, much less do it three times like Peter. I'm willing to bet that none of us have done exactly what Peter did. But having our own words and our own actions at many different times and in many different ways showed a denial of Christ. Sure, we love the benefits of being a follower of Christ. We enjoy worshiping in Christ's house here with our fellow believers. We enjoy receiving from him his words, reminders of his miracles, his promises, sharing with him his very body and blood through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Enjoying fellowship with our family members, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Experiencing the peace of forgiveness and then looking forward to the joy of eternal life in heaven with him. But when those moments of truth happen in our lives, are we always ready and willing to accept the Christian responsibilities and the hard work that God has called us to do? Like Peter in our text, our true tests of our faith, our true tests of our Christian character, don't usually come at the hands of armed soldiers or obvious enemies of God and his word. In those cases, we'd probably gladly stand up to them and proudly stand up to them. Our true tests are usually much more subtle. Subtle like a harmless servant girl who opens the gate for Peter and asks, "You aren't one of his disciples, are you?" Maybe it's not a servant girl, but maybe in our lives it is a co-worker by the water cooler. Maybe it's a classmate or a teacher or the guy or girl that we work out with at the gym or a new acquaintance that we just met who asks us, "You are not also one of Jesus' disciples, are you?" How do we respond? It doesn't always come in that obvious a question either, does it? Sometimes it comes to us, or that temptation or that question comes to us in the form of a sacrilegious joke that someone tells. Even just a general conversation about faith and religion and what all this means. And our answer isn't always a verbal and obvious denial either. But how do we respond to those jokes that we might hear about Jesus or comments about Jesus and who he is? How do we respond with both our words and our actions? Because they speak volumes about what we think about Jesus. Do we use those opportunities, which oftentimes are excellent opportunities, to witness Jesus? Or do we show by our words, or maybe even by our body language, that we are, in fact, ashamed of Jesus? Ashamed of the one who was beaten and hung on that cross for our sins? It's probably a bit more than depressing to look back over our lives and to see how many times that maybe we were too much like Peter. Maybe we were too much like him, denying our association with the Savior who loves us so much. If that's you, and I can say for certain that is me, looking back at my life, take heart. Take heart because we can also receive a great amount of comfort and encouragement from Peter's story. After his third denial of Christ, John tells us in our text that immediately a rooster crowed. And if you look at this account in the Gospel of Luke, you read that this happened. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. As you can imagine, Peter's tears were tears of shame. They were tears of sorrow over what he had done to his Lord and Savior, what he'd done to his friend. But most importantly, those tears were tears of repentance. Peter knew that his sins of irresponsibility, his weaknesses, and yes, even his denial of Jesus, all of those sins were going to be paid for by the sacrifice that his Savior was about to make on that cross. And he trusted in Jesus for forgiveness, full forgiveness of all of those sins. After his resurrection from the dead, Jesus would, of course, then go on to restore Peter and to assure him of his place as one of his apostles, one of his followers. And he gives Peter this command. He says, "Feed my sheep," continuing to be one of my apostles. "Feed my sheep the word of God." And after that restoration of Peter, Jesus completed Peter's transformation. Just 10 days after Jesus ascended into heaven on the day of Pentecost, Peter would preach a sermon with the rest of the apostles. And Peter would preach a sermon boldly, one of the greatest sermons of all time. Of course, he was given the gift of the Holy Spirit, but through the words of Peter that the Spirit used, the conversion of over 3,000 people happened. Even after Peter's own arrest before some of these same men who put Jesus to death, Peter was able to speak boldly of his Savior. In the book of Acts, we hear Peter tell the Jewish council concerning Jesus, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. Notice the significance of that last phrase. What these enemies of Jesus and enemies of the disciples, what they noticed. They, the Jewish high priests and councils, realized that they, Peter and John, had been with Jesus. There's no longer any denial of his association with Jesus, as Peter had done before when the servant girl had asked him that seemingly harmless question in the courtyard. Instead, Peter boldly proclaimed the saving name of Jesus, even before men who could have had him put to death. That is a transformation. What we all need to realize is that the same Jesus who restored Peter, restored him with repentant tears and tears of sorrow, also hears our cries of repentance and restores us as well. Even restores us for our sins of irresponsibility, weakness, even for times when we have, by our words or actions, denied Jesus, denied the very one who was sent to the cross. Because on that cross, he fully and freely paid for all of our sins. And that very same Holy Spirit that worked in Peter's heart to transform him from coward to confident proclaimer of Christ, that same Holy Spirit has also been given to you and me. Jesus, through that Holy Spirit, uses the word to transform our weak and irresponsible hearts from saying things like, "Not I," to, "Here am I. Send me." May God give to each one of us such courageous and willing hearts. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit.
Amen. You may be seated. An offering from our thankful hearts will now be received. Please rise. Are there any prayer requests for this morning? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love of Jesus, that in his compassion and grace, he has freely given himself as the sacrifice for our sins, presenting his perfect life as an offering for our salvation. We thank you for the finished work of our Savior, his holy life, his blessed example, his gracious teaching, and his atoning death. Forgive us, Lord, for the times that we have either by our words or our actions denied Jesus. Draw us closer to him through your word each day, and help us to confess him freely and confidently before others. Let your hand, O Lord, rest upon us in your church. Defend it and make your church grow. Give success to all who sow the seeds of your word and proclaim the gospel of salvation, and in Christ's name minister to people's souls. Give faithfulness to us, your people, so that we may work hard at gathering in the harvest of redeemed sinners into your eternal kingdom. Stretch forth your mighty arm, O Lord, to protect and watch over the citizens of our country. And we pray for those who have been affected by the severe weather on the East Coast, and pray, Lord, that you would prevent any more loss of life or property. We ask, Lord, that you would be with those who are in authority over us, Give them your wisdom and your counsel as they serve this nation. We pray for all who have any needs of either body or soul, and for all of our loved ones who are in distant places, and for all who have strayed from your word. We pray, Lord, for all those who are suffering sickness and pain, and for any who are going through a time of mourning. We ask you, Lord, to pour down your blessings upon them according to their various needs. Hear their prayers, comfort them with your presence. We ask all these things, dear Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 427. Continue on the bottom of page 6 with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and spiritually beneficial that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who brought the gift of salvation to all people by his death on the tree of the cross, so that the devil, who overcame us by a tree, would in turn by a tree be overcome. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth adored, heaven and earth with full acclaim, shout the glory of your name. Sing Hosanna in the highest, sing Hosanna to the Lord. Truly blessed is he who comes in the name of the
We give you thanks, O Lord our God, for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ and his cross. Give us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. In his name we pray, as we join in the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We continue with the words of institution. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of our Lord be with you always. Amen.
Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, you take the sin of the world away. O Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, have mercy on us, Lord, we pray. O Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, you take the sin of the world away. Have mercy on us, Jesus Christ, and grant us peace, O Lord, we
be seated. At this time, we respectfully ask those who are communicant members of St. Stephen Congregation or of a sister congregation in the Church of the Lutheran Confession to come forward to receive the Lord's Supper at the direction of our ushers.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now may this, the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Please rise. We continue on the middle of page 9 by singing the Nunc Dimittis.
O Lord, now let your servant depart in heavenly peace, for I have seen the glory of your redeeming grace. A light to lead the Gentiles unto your holy hill, the glory of your people, your chosen Israel. All glory to the Father, all glory to the Son, all glory to the Spirit, forever three in one. For as in the beginning is now, shall ever be, God's triune name resounding through all eternity.
Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen.
Closing hymn for today is hymn 452. Good morning. Well, warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus, and pray that you've been blessed through the message. And to our guests and visitors who are here today, warm welcome to you from our congregation. We ask you to sign our guest book in the entryway and invite you to come and worship our Savior with us again in the near future. A couple of announcements for this week. Tuesday we'll be having our choir practice at 6:30, not the usual Thursday, it's going to be Tuesday this week. So 6:30, choir here at church. Wednesday I have catechism class at 7 p.m. And Thursday, the upper graders of our grade school, along with one of our teachers, Rebecca Lillo, and her husband BJ, will be joining me to go to Wisconsin, where we'll be doing the CLC grade school basketball tournament in Eau Claire. We'll be there from Thursday till Sunday. And you can even follow along and cheer on our school team. If you watch online, you can see the website there on page 11. The game times are listed. We will be joining with our CLC school in the Milwaukee area, so we'll be listed probably as Hales Corners. If you don't see Mountain View or St. Stephen on there, we're listed as Hales Corners. So there's our game times. Please keep our travel in your prayers. Please keep the safety and health of our students in our prayers, and help them have a good and safe and fun time there in Wisconsin. Also probably pray for good weather. Some of the parents who are coming along, the students are nervous about how cold it's going to be in Wisconsin. But the forecast doesn't look too bad, so I think they dodged a bullet there. A reminder, next Saturday night, to turn your clocks ahead, spring forward 1 hour for daylight savings time. Next Sunday, since I will be in Wisconsin, we'll be having a lay-led service. Scott Miller will be doing our worships, our liturgy, and then Chris Holt will be doing the sermon next week, so we thank them for their service next Sunday. Our worship service will be at its usual time of 10 a.m. There will be no Bible class next Sunday. There also won't be a St. Stephen's South worship service in Corona, California next Sunday because I will be gone and Pastor Gareth from Arizona is not able to do it as well. So just keep that in mind. Please check your mailboxes. There is a directory, an updated directory for this year for St. Stephen. Please take one from your mailbox. If you need an extra copy, there are some on the back table, and we have a few in reserve in my office as well. Please speak with me if you need more copies. I believe those are all the announcements I have today. You are welcome to take your Passion History reading books home with you, and we ask you to please return them next Sunday. We'll be using them throughout the Lenten season during our worship services. Any other announcements I'm forgetting today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.